Today's daf is Avodah Zarah, daf Mem Beis. We left off on the bottom of daf Mem Aleph and Beis, two lines from the bottom. Today's shir is once again sponsored by Avishai and Elisha Venuman, L'zecher Nishmas Chaim Naftali ben Yaakov Shlomo, and Devorah Shirachaya Bas Yaakov Leib, and L'zchus Refor Shlema for Sarah Freda Bas Chaya. It is also sponsored anonymously, L'kavad HaTorah V'lamdeha, and we are holding, as I mentioned, on the bottom of Daf Mem Aleph and Beis. We're right in the middle of a tangential conversation. The Gemara got into a tangent about Ein Safek Motzi Midei Vadai, because if you find, if you have an item that is a Safek Ne'evad, you have a Safek whether it was ever, you have a Vadai Ne'evad, you find an Avodah Zarah, but it was a Safek whether someone was mevatel it, whether a guy was mevatel it to broke it in order to take away its status of Avodah Zarah. So do we say that a Safek is Motzi Midei Vadai? So we're going to finish that discussion of Safek Motzi Midei Vadai by bringing another case in Shas that seems to relate to that, and then we're going to go back to the original discussion that we were having, which was a machlokas between Rabbi Yochanan Reish Lakish, if an Avodah Zarah breaks by itself, do we assume that it loses the status of an Avodah Zarah? So on Amud Aleph, we're going to have seven more rayas against Reish Lakish, who holds that an Avodah Zarah that breaks by itself is mutter. So we're going to try to disprove Reish Lakish seven times, and we'll defend him from each of those attacks. And then on Amud Beis, Reish Lakish is going to go on the offensive and try to prove against Rabbi Yochanan and prove that it indeed is mutter when it breaks on its own. And the Gemara is going to give two answers to defend Rabbi Yochanan. In the course of that conversation, the Gemara is going to discuss using the nest and the eggs from a tree that is Aser Bana, whether the tree is Aser Bana because it's Avodah Zarah, and also the halacha of a tree that's Aser Bana because it's Hegdish. And then in the Mishnah on Amud Beis, we're going to discuss finding kelim that have certain images on them when those images are commonly used for Avodah Zarah. And the Gemara is going to discuss, well, the Mishnah only gives three examples of images, but are those the only images that are Ne'avad? There are many other images that are also Ne'avad. And then at the end of the daf, we're going to explain a difficult brisa about different images, and we're going to explain whether the brisa is talking about finding those tzuros, making those tzuros, what's aser to make, what can't you have even if you find. So Bez Hashem, we'll get to that at the very end of the daf. So let's pick up again. Mem Aleph Amud Beis, two lines from the bottom of the page. So we're in the middle of this tangential discussion that a Safek cannot be Motzi Midei Vadai. So says the Gemara, really? Ve'in Safek Motzi Midei Vadai? Can a Safek not be Motzi Midei Vadai? When you have a Vadai problem, is a Safek solution not sufficient for a Vadai problem? V'atanya, but we have a Brisa that tells us, Om Rabbi Yudah Maisa B'Shivcha Soshal Meitzik Echad B'Rimon. There was a Shivcha of a certain Meitzik in a place called Rimon. What is a Meitzik? Sarash, she writes, Gavra Alama, a strong man, the Yisrael Hava, and he is a Jew, meaning he's a powerful person. Tosel says, Pirush Akuntras Anas, Ubo Tosefdegaras Mosek, Pirush Mosek Zesim. Tosefd has a different gear, so not a strong, powerful person, but rather it was just identifying the person by profession, that he happens to be someone who picks olives for a living. But bottom line is that there was a Shivcha of a Jew, Sheitila Nefel bar that threw a nafel, a fetus, into a bar, and a kohen looked inside the bar to find out whether it was a zachar or a nekeva, because he had to know how long is the mother going to be tamei, is the woman going to be tamei? If what she was matu was a nafel zachar, so it's 7 days of tara, 7 days of tumah, 33 days of tara, and if it's a nekeva, the stakes are doubled. It's 14 days of Tumah and 66 days of Tara. So he wanted to know. Uba Maislav Ne Chachamim. So the Chachamim heard about this. Vitiaru Mipnei Shechuldo Bardelus Mitzuyin Sham. And they said that the Kohen is Tahar, because probably when he peered over the bar, especially if he didn't see anything, probably the fetus was already dragged away by a Chuldo Ubardelus. And therefore, he has nothing to worry about in terms of his Tumah. But wait, Vahacha Devade Iti Lenefel.
There was definitely tumma there. She definitely put the nafil into the bar. So you have a vaday problem. Safik aru, safik lo garu. You have a safik whether that problem was solved, whether the nafil was dragged away from that area. Because he's safik amotzi miday vaday. Nevertheless, chamor mitaher. Apparently, we allow a safik solution to a vaday problem. So it says Gemara, lo teme hitila nafil bar. No, it shouldn't say that hitila nafil bar. Eleme hitila. Kimin nefel bar, not an actual nefel, but something that appeared to be like a nefel. Meaning, the way to resolve any question about safek motzi midei vaday is you either turn the safek into a vaday or the vaday into a safek. So the first answer of the Gemara is that the vaday was not a vaday. It wasn't a vaday nefel. It was a safek nefel that was thrown into a bar. I, frankly, Gemara, how could you say that it was a safek nefel? Va'leida im zachar im nekeva hu katani. It says that the reason the Kohen was looking over was to find whether it's a Zachar or a Nekeva, implying that it was definitely a Nefel. No, Hachikamar Leda, Im Ruach Hifila, Im Nefelitila. No, what they were checking out was this indeed a Nefel? Maybe it was just a Ruach. Vimtim Salomar Nefelitila Leda Im Zachar Nekeva. And if it did turn out to be a Nefel, okay, then they have to figure out the gender. The Ibai same, and the other way to resolve it is like we said, that to turn the suffix into a vadai. Kiva Shachuldo Bardus Matsuyan Sham Vadegaruhu. That if there is a Chuldo Bardus there, it's not a suffix whether the Nefel is gone. For sure they already chopped up the Nefel. And therefore it's a vadai being motzi midei vadai, not a suffix being motzi. So a number of perplexing things about this whole Maisa, though. Aside from what a Maitzik is, Tosus points out in the next Tosus, a Kohen came to check it, of all people to look, whether it's a Zachar or a Nekeva. Why on earth would a Kohen be the one to do it? A Kohen is the only one who's not allowed to be Metameh Lemesim. So says Tosus, yeah, also Kohen, Shota Haya. That Kohen was a fool. The Isser of Tumah for a Kohen applies to Nephilim as well. Not only does it apply to Nephilim as well, it would apply to even those, even if the Nephil was one of his Zion Krovim, even if it was his own child. Because the whole heter of a Kohen being Metamil, the Zion Krovim, is only when it's Dumi David Imo, meaning it's got to be a Bar Kayama. Kohen Nephil wouldn't count. Rashi says in Maseches Pesachim that this Kohen forgot about the Yisra in the Torah of Lenefesh Lo Yitama Ba'amav. But if he would have remembered, there's no way he would have looked, because he would have been Choshesh Mishum Tumas Meis. So the Tzlach points out that he wasn't a Shota, because from the Kasha Tos says that if the bar, because why wasn't he a Shota? Because Tos points out, if the bar was Bereshus HaYachid, even if it's a Svek Sveka, the Kohen would still be Tameh, because Safek Tumah Bereshus HaYachid is Tameh even by a Svek Sveka. But if he was a Kohen Shota, even if it was Bereshus HaYachid, the Halacha would be Svek Otar, because the Dover Shein Bodasli Shoyl, meaning, if you take Tosos literally, not just Tam, that Tosos is making fun of this Kohen, that the Kohen's an idiot, but we're saying that the Kohen is Mamish HaShota, that he's not Chayiv HaMitzvah's kind of Shota, so if you take that literally, so he's saying that's what the Tzlach is saying, Rashi's trying to tell us, no, he's not a Shota, he's just someone who's not so religious. It's not that he's a shota, Zain Bodasli Shoyl, and that changes the halachos of Safik Tuma when it's Zain Bodasli Shoyl. So it can't be that he was a shota, it just has to be that he was not so religious. He wasn't observing the halacha. There are other suggestions in Achronim as to what this Kohen was doing. Rabbi Yaakov Emden, in the back of Maseches Pesachim Daf Tes, where the story comes up, says that he thought that he was able to stand by the edge of the bar and to look in without hovering over the bar, without being ma'ihil. But he made a mistake, because the chamor goes there, even b'dalet amos of a kever. A lot of people are unaware of that. They know that they can't be ma'ihil over the mace, but they don't realize that they're not even allowed to go within dalet amos of the kever. So he wasn't a shota, he wasn't irreligious, he was just not so knowledgeable of all of the details of the halacha. And there are other suggestions in Achronim as well, as far as what the Kohen Kohen was thinking. And then Tosfos points out, Leida im Zachar, in the next Tosfos, Vishivcha metama beleida. Now, why does it matter whether the child is a male or female? It must be, says Tosfos, because a Shivcha is metame beleida, and therefore, you have to know how long that tuma is. Is that true, though, that a Shivcha is metame beleida? He says, yeah, the Chei Masha Parakrav Lazar Demila, in Parakrav Lazar Demila, Masecha Shabbos, it also implies a Shivcha is metame beleida, because over there it says, Lokach Shivcha v'nesabra etzlo, v'yolda, zeyu libayis nima l'shmona, that a baby of a Shivcha requires bris mila on the eighth day. V'kol milsa, v'klala d'milsa, kol she'ein imo t'meh leida, ein ami nima l'shmona. And the rule is that when the mother is not tameh leida, there is no mila l'shmona. It's only when there's tumas leida do we say nima l'shmona. Anything that's not a natural birth doesn't have the requirement or anything. I shouldn't say that right now, because that's not what this is about. It's not about natural birth. This is about tumah. If the mother doesn't have the status of tumah, so then it's not nimol lishmona. Tosfos Maseches Pesachim writes, from the Maisa of the Shivcha of the Meitzik, cannot prove that a Shivcha is Tamei Beleida, because it could be that this Nefel didn't belong to the Shivcha. It could be the Nefel belonged to Gevirta HaYisraelis, her boss, meaning she was a Shivcha Shel Meitzik. Why does Rashi point out, Gavra Lama V'Yisrael Hava? The owner was a Yisrael, apparently, because this Shivcha was doing the dirty work for the boss, and it was the Jewish woman's Nefel. It wasn't the Shivcha's Nefel at all. But probably the biggest issue over here, certainly that relates halacha lemaisa, is there a mitzvah of kvura on a nefel? Meaning, apparently, they were just chucking the nefel into a bar. Is that okay? Is that how one disposes of a nefel? So that goes Maimonios in the first parak of Hilchos Mila says, you see from here that there's no mitzvah of kvura on a nefel, because they just chucked it into a bar. So he says, and therefore, even though Yom Tov Sheni Shel Golios is nidcha for mitzvahs kvuras Yisrael, the halacha is you're allowed to bury someone on Yom Tov Sheni Shel Golios, you're not allowed to bury a nefel on Yom Tov Sheni Shel Golios, because there's no mitzvah of kvuras nefel. Meaning, even though Hagos Maimonides acknowledges that may be the minhag is that they may bury a nefel, but you have to realize it's not a mitzvah, and since it's not a mitzvah, you can't use it as a kula to do it on Yom Tov Sheni Shel Golios. And that's what the Ramah paskins in Aruch Chaim Sim Tavkuf Chavav and Yerdei Sim Reish Samach Gimel, that there is no mitzvah of kvura on an Eifel. However, the Magen Avraham in Tavkuf Chavav disagrees with Hagos Maimonios and the Ramah, and he tries to prove from several sources that there is a din of kvura on the Nefelim, and if you don't bury an Eifel, it's a violation of Bal Tullin. And he rejects the raya from our sugya where they chuck the baby into a bar, because he says even throwing it into a bar is a fulfillment of the mitzvah of kvura. He quotes a Rash in the 16th parak of Maseches Ahilos that if you prepare a bar for a kever, so then the dirt of the bar has a din of the dirt of a kever. So it is a kiyum of the kvura. Chazanish in Yardei Simreish Ches disagrees. He says no, it's not mishtamer in a bar, it's not protected in a bar. There's chulda, bardalus, mitzuyin sham, that are schlepping away. That's not a mitzvah kvura. Mitzvah kvura is only fulfilled when you have a stima sagolel, you're protecting the dead body. It's not going to be bizayon. So yeah, the offer of the bar may have a din of offer of a kever, but you can't fulfill a mitzvah of kvura if the body is not protected at all. And also, according to one teretz in the sugi, we're talking about a nefel vadai, and so Chazanish says that really we assume, like the Magen Avraham, that there is a mitzvah of kvura, and the bar that they were matel nefel was shelo baratzon chachamim. This whole maisa was shelo baratzon. There was a kohen looking, and the whole thing was shelo baratzon chachamim. So you can't bring a raya of what the halacha ought to be from a story that happened. That's why it's a maisa. It's not someone suggesting that they do this lechadchila. Chasam Sofer as a tshuva in Aruch Chaim Sim Kuf Mem Dal, where he also discusses this issue of kvura of a nefel, and he points out in Gemara Sanhedrin Mem Vav that gives two reasons for kfuras meis. There's the kapara and there's mishum bizyona, that you shouldn't have the bizayon of a human form being left unburied. So he said by nefel certainly there's no issue of kapara. He doesn't need a kapara for anything, but there is the issue of bizayon. So the Chasam Sofer says that's why you don't have to dafka bury him in a kever. That's why you're allowed to be mashlicha lebar, like there were knowing be mei chazal, to throw the nefel into the bar, because it's not necessary to have the kapara, and you take care of the bizayon when you throw him into the bar, because the mace is not going to be left out for all to see. So bottom line is that the minhag seems to be that they bury a nefel, but it seems to be a major machlokas whether that's necessary lahalacha to bury a nefel. There is a further discussion in poskim. Sometimes they want to keep the nefel around to run tests on it, whether it be stam for medical research or whether it be to diagnose problems what happened with this pregnancy, to diagnose problems for the future so that they could be aware of what to look out for in future pregnancies. So if it's stam for medical research, the poskim are not particularly happy about that because of the possibility that you have a mitzvah kvura. But because according to the Rama, there is no mitzvah kvura in the first place, and the only concern some of the poskim raise is a concern of tumas kohanim, but you're dealing with doing all of this research in hospitals anyway, so it's an issue of tzion kvaros that some of the poskim are worried about. So if it can actually yield information that's going to be important about future pregnancies, so many of the poskim are makil on that issue. But that's a very common shaila that comes up. Okay, now the Gemara goes back to bringing rayos in this machlokas between Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish. What happens if an avodah zarah breaks all by itself? So is it Asr Bana, that's Rabbi Yochanan Shita, or is it Mutar Bana, that's Reish Lakish Shita? So we're holding at Eisvei about 10 lines into the page, Mem Beis Amud Aleph. Eisvei Matzah Tavnis Yat Tavnis Regel Harelu Asurim Reish Akios Ben Nevad. Our Mishnah said that if you find just a hand, just a foot, it's Asr, because such things are typically worshipped. Amai Hashvarim Ninu, but it's broken, so shouldn't it automatically be Mutar according to you, Reish Lakish? So says Mar Hatir Gama Shmuel Ba'umdin Al Basisan. Who said it's broken? We're talking about a hand that's on a base, meaning obviously as a hand it was meant to be worshipped. It's not a broken piece of a larger idol. So that's why it's still going to be problematic, even though it's just a hand or just a foot. So Gemara challenges again. Eisvei, another raya. Ovid chavim mevatel avodus chavim shalom vishel chavero. An ovid chavim can be mevatel the status of avodah zarah from that which was previously used as an avodah zarah, whether it's his own avodah zarah or someone else's avodah zarah. V'Yisrael einu mevatel avodus chavim shalom v'chavim. But Yisrael cannot be mevatel the status of an avodah zarah that belonged to an ovid chavim. Ask him, why can't Yisrael be mevatel it by breaking it? It should be no worse than if the idol breaks, if the avodah zarah breaks by itself. If it breaks by itself, according to Reish Lakish, it's mutar bana. So why, if a Jew breaks it, is it not mutar bana? So Abaye shapachsa. Abaye says, no, the case over here is not where it was broken, but it was deformed, that he just changed the image on it. So that is not the same as shvira, meaning enochinami. If a Jew were to break it, yeah, it would be just like nishtabra me'aleh, and Reish Lakish would say it's mutar. Over here we're talking about that a Jew who changes the form, changes the image, without actually breaking off any piece, that does not take away the status of the avodah zarah. But why should it be any different than being mevatelit? Isn't that just as strong as being mevatelit? So says Gemara, no. It's only as strong as being mevatelit when it's done by an ovid chavim. But if a Jew is the one that deforms it, it is not enough to be mevatelit. But Rava gives a different answer. Why is it that a Jew cannot be mevatel the avodah zarah, but a guy can be mevatel the avodah zarah? But if it's a breaks on its own, it's mutar bana. Rava amar liolam kipachsi Yisrael nami batla. You know what? If a Jew were to deform it, it would also be batal on a doraisa level. And if a Jew breaks an avodah zarah, it's also batal on a doraisa level. But this braisa was telling us a special din derabanan that in a chinami, any time an avodah zarah is broken, whether it be by a guy, whether it be by a Jew, or whether it be by itself, it's going to be mutar. But we have a special gezeira that if a Jew breaks it, it's not going to be mutter. Why? Alexer Dilma Magbala, we're afraid that the Jew is going to lift it, Vahadar Maftila, and then be Mevatalit. But when he lifts it, he's kona it. And that will turn it into an avodah zarah that's in the hands of Yisrael. And the halacha is that an avodah zarah in the hands of Yisrael is not batal liolam. It's never going to be batal. The smag writes over here, the reason avodah zarah in Rosh Hashanah of Yisrael is not batal liolam is because the Chacham made a gzeira atu an avodah zarah that was ne'evda al yidei Yisrael, that a Jewish person was oved the avodah zarah. So asks the Binyan Shlomo a very strong question. If the whole reason an avodah zarah biyad Yisrael cannot become batal is because of a gzeira atu an avodah zarah that Yisrael actually worshipped, what are we doing over here? We're saying that a Yisrael who breaks an avodah zarah is not mevatel it gzeira because it might be an avodah zarah biyad Yisrael if he lifts it up first. Isn't that a gzeira l'gzeira? So why is it aser? So he says, yeah, that's the chumra of avodah zarah. That avodah zarah is such a chumadika thing that we will even make a gzeira l'gzeira. Also, the rush over here, and the tour, the rush not over here, but in the third paragraph of Rosh Hashanah, and the tour in Orchaim Simtavkov Peivav, right, that a Yisrael who picks up an avodah zarah of an Ovid Chavim with the intention of being kona with that agbah is kona. The Bach disagrees. He says, no, even if he has intention to be kona, he's not kona. You don't say avodah zarah biyad Yisrael unless it's an avodah zarah of hefker that's biyad Yisrael. If a Jew picks up an avodah zarah belongs to a guy, he is not going to be kona. So Magen Avraham says, you see clearly in our sugya that if a Jew picks up an avodah zarah to be kona, he is kona, because we made this whole gzeira that lest he pick it up and then he become the bailam on it. So the Karban Salim just points out the answer to that raya is maybe our Gemara is only talking about when it was hefker, but ein achinami. If it belonged to an Ovid Chavim and it was not hefker, then ein achinami, we would never make such a gzeira because it couldn't be his anyway. But this also opens up a broader sugya in Shas. In the Avnei Milum, at the end of the Avnei Milum, they have tshuvas from the Avnei Milum. So in Shaila Tshuva of the Avnei Milum, Simin Zayin, he quotes Machlokas Rishonim, where there's something that's an Isra Ana has Dine Mamanis. Can you be kona something that's an Isra Ana? The Rambam in the first paragraph of Hilchos Chametz Matzah, in the context of Chametz, obviously, the Rivash and Simin Taf Aleph say that even an Isra Ana, a person could do a Maisa Kinyan and could become the owner of an Isra Ana. But the Rashba in a Tshuva and the Ritva in Kiddushin, Daf Nun Vav, say that no, Isurei Ana of Nodin Mamon, you can't be kona Isurei Ana. So ask the Avnei Miluim, if you hold that you're unable to be kona Isurei Ana, how you can explain the Gezerah of the Chachamim that a Jew can't be Mevatel in Avodah Zarah of a Nachri, because if he picks it up, he may become an Avodah Zarah of Israel. What do you mean? It's Asurei Ana. So he can't become the owner of an Isurei Ana. So there's nothing to make a Gezerah about. It will never become an Avodah Zarah Shel Yisrael. So the Ran explains that since the Avodah Zarah can be mispatel al yidei the Ovid Chavim, and then it won't be an Isra Ana. So even though now the Ovid Chavim has not been mivatelit, we're still able to make such a gzeira. That's how you explain according to those Rishonim. That's a broader topic and a fascinating topic, whether there's a din of bailus in something that has no value whatsoever. There's a Rashi in Masechah Sukkah, where Rashi talks about the Gemara says, Kol Ezach Yisrael Yeshva Basukos, that Kol Yisrael is ru'in to sit in the Sukkah. So Rashi explains, so that's a raya that sukkah does not need to be lachem, it does not need to belong to you. Reb Lazar Shita is that you can only, just like your Dalet Minim has to belong to you, Reb Lazar, the Tana holds, your sukkah also has to belong to you. Can't be yotzi in the mitzvah of sukkah, it's an unbelievable Shita. Can't be yotzi in the mitzvah of sukkah in somebody else's sukkah on the first day. But Reb Lazar also holds, you have to spend all 14 meals of all 7 days in the same sukkah. So it would turn out you're never allowed to have company or be company on sukkah. The whole minhag of going around, you know, some chaspes and shvev is not all gone. According to Reb Lazar, you sit like a kalta litvak all by yourself in your sukkah. I don't know, you and the yushpizin or something. I guess not such a kalta litvak, but whatever. You sit in the sukkah all by yourself in your own sukkah. Unbelievable. That's Reb Lazar's shita. But Rashi says, what's the raya? Kol Ezach Yisrael, that you don't need to own your own sukkah. Because if the whole Jewish people are sharing a sukkah, it must be that no one has a shavapruta's worth of the sukkah, and if Yom Shavu Prut is worth of it, then there's no ownership of it. So it's assuming that Isurei Ana also l'chora have no ownership because it's not a Shavu Pruta, and there's no ownership of something that's less than a Shavu Pruta. Very difficult Rashi, because why wouldn't there be ownership of something that's less than a Shavu Pruta? Yeah, there's no mitzvah Eishavas like Zela, there are other things, but no ownership is hard to understand why that would be the case. Okay, so says the Gemara further now, another raya. The Eisvei, last one line is Akum. Eisvei, Akum Shevi Avanim and Amarkulis. If an Ovid Chavim brings a stone from the Markulis Avodah Zarah, which was this pile of stones, and that was the Tzura of the Avodah Zarah, V'chifa Ben Drachim, V'tartios, Mutaros, and you know, he uses them as pavers on his driveway or something, you know, he makes roads out of them. The Yisrael Shevi Avanim and Amarkulis. Yisrael does the same thing. I'm sorry, Mutaros, it's Mutar if a guy does it. But the Yisrael Shevi Avanim and Amarkulis, V'chiv Ben Drachim V'tartios, Asuros. But if a Jew does it, it remains Aser. Amai, Tavi Kavos Chomshin Shtab Amei Aleha. When you're taking the stone from the Markulis, aren't you breaking apart the Markulis? And if you hold like Rish Lakish, that even an Avodah Zarah that breaks on its own is Mutar, an Avodah Zarah that you have broken apart should also be Mutar. So says Gemara, Achanami Kidarava. Now stick with Rava's answer before, that it's a special Gezerah that when a Jew breaks it apart, it's not going to lose the Yisrael. No, it's still going to remain Aser. Part of that Gezerah, lest the Jew be Kona it. So that's what we're sticking with. Rava's answer. Eisvei, the Gemara says, okay, I got another Raya against Rish Lakish. If a non-Jew trims pieces off of the Avodah Zarah, because he wants those pieces. So he v'shifuy mutarin. Both the Avodah Zarah and that which he trimmed off are going to be mutar, because he's chopping up his Avodah Zarah for his own needs. So obviously he's being mevatel the Avodah Zarah. But litzarcha, but what if he's trimming the Avodah Zarah to make the Avodah Zarah look better? He's doing it to improve the Avodah Zarah. So he asura, the Avodah Zarah remains asur, but v'shifuy mutarin, the trimmings, the shavings off of the Avodah Zarah are going to be mutar, because that's no longer an Avodah Zarah. But if a Jew starts trimming an Avodah Zarah, whether he's doing it for his own selfish reasons, or whether he's doing it for the sake of the Avodah Zarah, both the initial Avodah Zarah and that which he's trimmed off of it remain Aser. But according to you, Reish Lakish, that even if it breaks on its own, it's Mutter, why should it be Aser over here? It should be no worse than Avodah Zarah that breaks on its own. So once again, the Gemara says, Hachinami Kidarava. No, remember Rava's answer that a Jew breaking something is not the same as breaking on its own. When it breaks on its own, in a chinami it's mutter. When a Jew breaks something, we have to worry, gezeira, lest he be konit, v'chule. The Eisvei, the Gemara says, okay, another challenge. Rabbi Yossi, Omer Shochik, V'zor L'ruach HaMataliyah. You find an Avodah Zarah made of metal, so you grind it up, and you throw it into the wind, or you throw it into the ocean to rid yourself of it. So Omer Lo, so they said to Rabbi Yossi, Afinasa Zevel, that's a bad idea. You can throw it into the wind. It could turn into something that could be beneficial for the fields where it lands. It could be Zevel, Uksiv, Lo Yidbak, V'yadcha, Mu'uma, Menacherim. And you're not allowed to get any sort of Hanah from Avodah Zarah. So Amai, what's the problem? You're grinding it up and destroying it. It should be no worse than Avodah Zarah that breaks on its own, which according to Reish Lakish is mutter. Gemara's answer, you guessed it, Hachanami Kidarava. Same answer. When it's a Yisrael doing it, we make a Gezerah. Eisei Gemara says, okay, I got another challenge. Rabbi Yossi ben Yossi and Omer, Matzah Tzuras Darkon, Rosh Chatuch, Safik Ovicham Chatacho, Safik Yisrael Chatacho, Mutter. You find the Tzura of a snake, and its head is cut off. That was a commonly worshipped Tzura, that when you find a snake, but its head was cut off, and you don't know who cut the head off, whether it was a Jew or non-Jew, it's Mutter. You could assume that maybe it's not an Avodah Zarah to begin with, and even if it was an Avodah Zarah, maybe a guy cut the head off and was therefore mevatel the Avodah Zarah, the shame of Avodah Zarah from it. Vada Yisrael chatach aser. But if you know that a Jew is the one that chopped it up, that cut it off, then it's going to be aser. But amai, why would that be aser? Tavi kavod zchum shen shtabim eila. It should be no worse than Avodah Zarah that breaks on its own, which is mutter according to Reish Lakish. Once again, Hachanami Kidarava. Yes, it is worse because we make a gzeira. When a Jew breaks it, he might pick it up and he might pick on it, like we said from Rava. So, in case you're wondering, Tosos points out, Hachanami Kidarava. Sarich iyun b'kol hani yedikarila mai karila. It's unclear why the Gemara keeps bringing, right? We know what the answer is going to be already, but this time we see the trend, right? We understand that Rava's answer is good enough. Pshita delishni b'ukid Rava. Obviously, you're going to give the answer that it's like Rava. I always thought the pashtus is that these rayas were not all brought at the same time in the same conversation. That they were learning the machlokas in later Amorim were learning the machlokas of Yochanan Reish Lakish, and in different batei medrash they were bringing different rayas, and then Ravina Ravashi were being masada the shas. They put all of the rayas together on the same page, but so they keep coming back to Rava's answer. But each raya was brought in a different in a chinami in a base medrash that brought raya number 5. They went to brought raya number 1, 2, 3, and 4. Okay, Esfei, a last raya against Reish Lakish. Rabbi Yossi Omer, af lo yurakos b'yimos hagashamim mipnei shahanavia no sheres alehen, that you shouldn't plant vegetables underneath an asherah tree during the winter season, during the rainy months, because leaves will fall off of the asherah tree and will serve as fertilizer for your vegetables, so the asherah tree is going to be benefiting your vegetables. We assume that the shade of the asherah tree will be a hindrance rather than a help to the vegetables, but the leaves that fall off may be a help to the vegetables, and that would be problematic. But the leaves that fall off, they still have the status of avodah zarah. They've broken off the asherah tree. Amai tavikavos chamishin shabamei aleha. Isn't that literally an avodah chamishin shabamei aleha? Now we're not going to be able to answer like Rava, because all the cases that we challenged until now is where a Yisrael did it. So he said, okay, that's a special gzera. Over here, it just happened. It just fell off the tree. So this is exactly nishtar b'me'ala. So it says, no, shayni asam di'ik ravel z'chavim kayames. This wasn't nishtar at all. The avodah zarah tree still remains intact. It's just a natural process that leaves fall off of the tree. So that's still going to be problematic. So says Gemara, yeah, but va shipuya dekravod schavim kayemes v'katani l'tzarke hi asura v'shipuya mutarin. But didn't we learn with the trimmings of an avodah zarah where the ikra avodah zarah is still there? And nevertheless, we say that if you're doing it for the sake of the avodah zarah, while the avodah zarah remains asur, that which was trimmed off of the avodah zarah is mutar. So why should this be any different? How can you tell me that whenever the ikra avodah zarah is still intact, even that which came off of the avodah zarah, like the leaves, is going to be asur? When it came on Amud Aleph, when we discussed trimming an avodah zarah, we said, yeah, the ikra avodah zarah is intact and remains asur, but that which you trimmed off is mutter. Says, there's a difference between a natural process where the leaves fall off, that the shem avodah zarah is never going to be batal from it. The Yisrael no, will not be batal. That's the case of the tree. As opposed to where you go in an unnatural way and you just start trimming things, then the avodah zarah will in fact be batel. Tosus points out we could have given a better answer. What's this case that we're talking about where hi asura ushipuya mutarin? That's something about where the Ovid Kochavim did it. Yeah, you know why shipuya mutarin? Because the guy is the one that chopped it off, that did the trimming in that case. Whereas over here we're talking about where it happened on its own. Everyone agrees that if an Ovid Kochavim breaks the avodah zarah, that it loses the status of avodah zarah. That was never subject to machlokas. The whole machlokas of Rabbi Yochanan Reish Lakish is when it happens all by itself. So Tosfos suggests our real kasha is not from the line of the brisa that we're actually quoting. Tosfos points out the real question is shipuyin deikravos kam kayamus v'katani b'shipa v'kam demutarin v'afilu shipa Yisrael nami havi shari ilav gzera derava. The real kasha is that even if a Jew would have been the one to trim it, it would have been mutter if not for Rava's gzera that lest the Jew be kone it when he picks it up. But on daraisa level would have been mutter. That was really the challenge. But now the tables are turned. Now the Gemara says Rav Shimon Lakish goes on the attack. Eisir Rav Shimon Lakish Rabbi Yochanan. Rav Shimon Lakish asks Rabbi Yochanan, kan shabroshi ilan. You have a nest on the top of a tree shall hegdish, and the tree is a hegdish tree. Lo nanin v'lo ma'olin. There's an isra na midrabanan from that kan, but there's no isra mi'ila midaraisa. Barosha shall asherah, But if it's not on a Hegdish tree, it's on an Asherah tree, which is obviously also Asurbana, Yatiz Bakana. You can knock down the nest with a stick. You just can't climb the tree. And the assumption is that how was that nest made? The birds took wood from that very tree, Vikinsaban, and made a nest out of it. Vakatani, and yet, what do we say? Yatiz Bakana. That you can knock off the nest and use the nest after you knock it off of the tree, even though it came from the wood of that very tree. Why? Why is it mutter? Must be because it broke off of the tree, and anything that breaks on its own, or the birds themselves break it, that's the same as breaking on its own, that it's going to be totally mutter. So Reish Lakish says, don't you see that's a raya to me? So says Mar, no, hacham ayaskinan kigon da'isi etzim me'alma v'kinsa behen. No, this nest was not made from the broken off piece of wood from that Asherah tree. No, it was taken from wood that was gotten from elsewhere. Dekanami, and it's Mduik that way. The Ketanik Ave Hegdish, lo nen v'lo molin. When it gives the case of Hegdish, it says that there's no Isra Mi'ila Midaraisa. Well, Yam, Bisham Adaisi Yetzim Mi'alma, Heinrich the Ketanik Ave Hegdish, lo nen v'lo molin. If you say that the wood came from elsewhere, I understand why there's only Nisra Hana Midrabanan, but no Mi'ila Daraisa, lo nen Midrabanan, v'lo molin Midaraisa, to lo Kadishi. The reason it's not, you're not in violation of Mi'ila Midaraisa is because it's not really Hegdish wood. It's wood that was gotten from elsewhere. But if you assume that these nests were made from the wood of that very tree, why would it not be a violation of Mi'ila? It's Kodesh. So it says we're in a midi area. Maybe it really does come from that tree, but the nest was made from wood that grew after you were makdish the tree. The kasavra ain mi'ila b'gidulin. You know why there's no mi'ila? Because there's no mi'ila on that which is gidulin, that which grows after you already made it hegdish. Rabbi Yavoam, Rabbi Yochanan, my yatiz befrochin. Rabbi Yavoam, Rabbi Yochanan gives a different teretz. No, Reish Lakish, you're trying to prove that an avodah zarah that breaks on its own is mutter from the fact that you're allowed to use this nest. It never said you're allowed to use the nest. It said knock the nest down with the stick. Then what? Then you could use the chicks that are in the nest. But you're not allowed to use the nest. The nest is a broken piece of avodah zarah. Asa amalei Rabbi Yaakov, the Rabbi Yirmiyah, bar Tachlifa, Azbulach be'afrochin, kan v'kan mutarim. He said the truth is, if it's actual afrochin, it's actual independent birds that are ready to fly, so that's going to be mutar for sure. But whether it's an Asherah tree, whether it's Hegdish tree, bebeitzim, kan v'kan asurin. If it's just the eggs, then they're for sure going to be asur, because they definitely require the tree, and the Rabbanan are going to make a gzera that the eggs are going to be considered like part of the tree, because they still need the tree. That a frochim, that a tzrichim le'iman are like beitzim. So that's really what the machlokas was about, was the frochim that a tzrichim le'iman. Okay, says the Mishnah. Hamote kelim v'aleim tzuras chama tzuras levama tzuras darkon. You find kelim, and there are images engraved on the kelim, whether it be an image of the sun, the moon, or a snake. Yolichum li'am ha'melech. Those kelim you have to throw into the yam ha'melech. They're asur b'anah. You have to assume avodah zarah. Rabbi Shimon Gamliel omer, shalom u'chubadin asurin, shalom u'vuzin mutarin. No, only if it's on a kavadika kli. But if it's on a kli, like drinking glasses or something, that would be totally mutar, because they wouldn't do that for avodah zarah. So Tosus points out that it, also if you find these images not on kelim, it's going to be problematic. The chiddush is that even if it's on kelim, where you would think, no, it's primarily a kli, it's just a decoration, no, still it's going to be us when it's these particular images. So ask Gemara, just these images? Do you mean to say that it's only these images that people worship? Other things are not worshipped? There are many. Hashokhid, l'shum yamim, l'shum naharos, l'shum midbar, l'shum cham, l'shum levan, l'shum kochavim, umazalos, l'shum ichol saragadol, l'shum shil shul katan, harei elu zivchei mesim. If you shecht for the malach that represents any of these creations, that is a violation of avodah zarah, and whatever you shechted is asur b'anah, it's zivchei mesim. But don't you see the bottom line over here is that all of these things are worshipped, not just the chama, the levana, and the darkon? Am Rabbi Miflach Lekol the Meshachi Palchi. You're right, they'll worship anything. Any sort of image that they happen to find, they'll worship. But to actually make the image and then worship it, only these three chashve image would they make with the intention to worship. So that's why when you find these images on Kelim, that's where it's dafka a problem. Manpit Rav Sheshes Chumri Masnias Avitani. Rav Sheshes gathered together Chumre of Brisos and he would explain them. What are Chumre? So Rashi says, Malakit Mishnayos Hachamuros Letartsan Va'om Beis Medrash Kedei She'itnu Liba Lefarkan, that he would dafka pick the most difficult Mishnayos and Brisos to try to explain, that he would dafka had an expertise in explaining the most challenging Mishnayos and Brisos. Tosa says, Pirush Rashbam Klali de Brisa, Davi Kimin Chomer, doesn't mean the most difficult, it means that he would come up with clear explanations and rules how to understand Brisos. Anyway, here's the Brisa. The Brisa says three things. All mazalos are mutar. It doesn't say mutar or what with these mazalos, but everything except for the sun and the moon. V'kala partzufim mutarin, and all images are mutar chutz miparts of Adam except for the human image. V'kala tsuros mutaros, and all tsuros, all other images are mutar chutz mitzuros darkon except for the image of a snake. So the Gemara is going to just point out, meaning what needs to be explained over here is what are each of these halachos? Are they talking about making these images? Are they talking about having these images? So we're going to, Bez Hashem, we'll start explaining that Brisa tomorrow.